Welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast, the podcast in which Stephen El Trogi, Barnabas Piper, and Ted Cluck cheerfully rant about all the things that don't matter all that much. And now, buckle up for today's episode.
Fellas, welcome to another episode of the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck. They are Ronnie Martin and Barnabas Piper. Gentlemen, how are you, man? Are you getting ready for the most overrated meal in the American holiday cycle?
So ready to put on 10 or 15 pounds on Thursday. It's going to be beautiful.
Now, baby, do you go big for this meal? Is this a huge deal in the Martin household?
You know, typically it was when we had family nearby, but now that fam is across the country, it's a little more low-key, but we really try to indulge nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay. What does that look like at your house, man?
Well, this year it's a little lo-fi. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to sound like a real sad episode of Little House on the Prairie. It's just me and the missus. You know, we're just gonna be the two of us because the kid is in Denver.
Right.
And we're just going to keep it real low-key. We're going to keep it real quiet. You know, a lot of cooking, a lot of baking, a lot of Christmas specials on the television, and a lot of cozy book reading and those types of things.
Baby, that is a sad little house app, man. Why don't you call Nels from the Mercantile and Almanzo and see if they're doing anything?
Well, Nels is actually going to be the one that's making our turkey, so we'll have to at some point go to the Mercantile and pick that thing up.
Ronnie,
so
you left out the most essential ingredient of a good Thanksgiving, and that's football.
Oh. Okay.
You and the missus will not be watching the Dallas Cowboys play the Carolina Panthers?
Now, when you say Cowboys and Panthers, I'm guessing that that's not literal, Pipe.
That would be more entertaining on television than watching the men wearing plastic hats run into each other.
Right. I mean, if you're telling me there's going to be literal Cowboys and Black Panthers on a field fighting each other, I'm in. I mean, I'm turning the channel. You know?
Six guns and claws everywhere.
I love it. I love it. Now, Big R, you could throw in Any Given Sunday, which I know is a favorite football film of yours.
You know what?
Tim, does
that's
move.
A great point. And if it wasn't the fact that Creed is coming out that day, which obviously, as we discussed last time, is Rocky 7, I might consider that.
Now, tell me, does M get into Creed? Will she go with you to the theater to watch that?
You know, here's the thing. I'm actually more, if I'm going to be real honest here on the broadcast, I'm actually more of a guy that enjoys drama and romance. You know, I'm a huge Downton fan. My wife would be the one that actually likes those types of movies even a little more strongly than I do. Now, obviously, I do have a thing for sports movies. So, she'll be right alongside of me with Creed. She's not going to make me do that alone, Big T.
It's really That's refreshing good. To have a co-host who will just come out and admit his love of drama, whereas Steven would always kind of play it off and pretend like it wasn't the case. We knew he was a closet Downton fan, but you just come out and say it, and that's the kind of authenticity that really makes this show tick.
Dude, absolutely. I feel like Steven kind of grappling with his masculinity was a nice kind of recurring bit on the show, though.
I'm not one of these guys that's guilty about the pleasure. You know, it is what it is. I enjoy it. And, I'm also not a guy struggling in rehab right now like Trogues. So it's
That's
there's,
true.
There's some stuff going on there.
There's a lot of – yeah, he's fighting a lot of demons, masculinity demons, substance abuse, gambling. I mean, it's a rough stretch.
Absolutely.
What about you, man? Any guilty pleasures for you?
Guilty pleasures? I don't know. I guess it's hard – if you don't feel guilty, are they guilty pleasures?
No, I don't think any of the three of us feel guilty. Which
no,
is
there's there probably, others, that doesn't qualify.
At some level an indictment of our characters. But
I will say I don't watch or tend to enjoy most of the shows or movies that are sort of stereotypically for women, as they say.
Yeah.
So like Downton, although Downton seems to be crossing a lot of borders. I know a number of men who enjoy that. I watched about half of one episode and fell asleep. So.
Like, what about Little House on the Prairie, man?
I feel like I liked that a lot when I was a kid, although I would have thought of it as a guilty pleasure then because boys can't admit to those things. I haven't – now that my daughters are watching it now, like the old – what was it? Michael Landon, was he the – was he the
– He's the guy.
Was Pa. Yeah. Yeah, my daughters are watching it, and I had a lot of nostalgia come back to me when they were watching it. I thought it was really great.
I found it odd how Pa found a reason to take his shirt off in every ep. You know what I mean?
And he was quite tan, too, wasn't
he? Yeah,
ooh,
I just fell from the fence row, and I think I've cracked a rib again.
And he had sort of that, like, he shaved a day and a half ago, but it was perpetually like that. Never a beard, never clean shaven. His shirt always had enough buttons to show just a little bit of pectorals. Yeah, he was swoon-worthy.
Dude, you know what? He was kind of like the modern church planter in that regard, man. I mean, the flannel open just a little, you know, just one button too deep. You know, the kind of heavy set friend with the huge beard. You know, like what's his friend's name on the show?
We'll just call him Worship Leader.
Yeah. Really, the entire cast of that show was like a modern church planting family, man.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Let me take it a step further. I mean, you stick a beard on Darren Patrick, and we are watching an episode of Little House on the Prairie.
Absolutely. You
know. Speaking of Darren Patrick, we would call that the Dude's Guide to Prairies, however.
Yeah.
The Dude's Guide to Prairies. Just staying on brand.
That's right. Got to stay consistent.
Now, gentlemen, speaking of our boy D-Pat, you guys wanted to talk about, and it's something that's, I feel like it's kind of come up on the program before, man, just the whole kind of hierarchy of reformed celebrity, i.e. you got your A-listers, your B-listers, your C and D-listers. Like, where do we fall in that continuum, and why do certain guys fall where they fall? So, I mean, in keeping with the Little House sort of analogy, man, I feel like Matty Chandler's probably the pa, you know what I mean? Whereas I feel like Big R, where would you and I fall, man? What characters would we be?
You know, I don't know. I mean, we're going to be a supporting role. You know, we're going to be part of that supporting cast. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, we don't fall in line with with Michael Landon, aka Matt Chandler, or some of these other guys that'll fall in line with Kim Keller and Carson and DeYoung and these guys. So, I mean, we're going to be more like Almanzo or maybe Albert Ingalls, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
Baby, I feel like I'm even lower than that. I feel like I'm Nels. Sort you know what I mean? I run the mercantile. I appear in like every fourth ep.
I feel like we might be more just like townspeople who die of smallpox in an episode and are never heard from
and
again.
And are completely forgotten.
Yeah.
We're gone. We're like, I would even go further than that. Let me raise you on that pipe. I would say we're reoccurring characters that you see every six episodes for about six episodes, and then we just kind of vanish.
Okay. I like it.
Which means we were like the director's nephew and just got thrown in there, which in my case actually fits the analogy really, really well.
Pipe. I didn't want to say that,
the
but
nepotism thing. So, no, I mean, I have to be honest about these things. Authenticity is the name of the game. So,
dude, I think in that regard, Pipe would be Albert. You know what I mean? The son.
He would be.
The son of the main character. You know?
Here's the thing. If you guys don't know this, let me just say that like in the later episodes, Michael Landon's daughter actually had a weekly role as the school teacher.
No kidding.
So that is B. Pipe right there. He is
darned. The young schoolmaster, you know?
Absolutely.
Which is kind of the role he plays on this program. So fellas, I'll just throw a few names out, man, and I want you guys to assign, you know, kind of hierarchical levels to these guys. What about our boy Joe Thorne, man? Where do you put him? He of the like tattooed hands and wrists and gigantic beard. Where does he fall in this?
Was there a character in the show that was always smoking?
I don't know, man.
Because
that would have been Mr. Edwards. Joe Thorne Edwards. Would be Mr. Edwards.
Dude, the beard and the smoking, that really follows. That
because
goes.
Joe Thorne's Instagram feed is like 10% his kids.
Yeah.
And 90% cigars and tattoos.
Absolutely. And that's what I think is fascinating about Joe. I've gained a lot from some of his writings. I really like where he goes. I think he's super solid. But yet, you know, if you go to, you know, a TGC or a T4G, you're not seeing Thorny doing a plenary gig. So
dude, why is Thorny not getting that gig, Big R? What's going on?
You know, that's the thing. That's the question. And maybe Piper has a little more insight into this. But, you know, I feel like that there's, you know, I think a lot of us understand how some of these things work. You know, I mean, I've put on events in the past and done things of that nature. And there's a certain sort of name recognition that you have to pull in to be able to garner the crowd that you're looking to get.
Yeah.
And so I understand that. I don't have any problem with that. That is just the world that we live in. And that that transitions over into the church world as well. But I'm wondering how some of these guys like a Thorne or let's say like a like an at Jared Wilson.
Jared C. Wilson.
they're writing a lot of books and they're getting some platforms. How do they eventually transition into that? And let's just say that these are dudes that are not getting any younger either.
Yeah. Man, the clock's ticking for these guys, man.
Piper, what do you think about that?
I think the short answer, and I don't think this is the full reason, but I think it's a main ingredient, is that those guys do not head up large enough institutions.
Yes.
So Joe Thorne is the pastor of a church in St. Charles, Illinois, near where we lived before. And it's not a very big church. I mean, it's a few hundred, and it's a really healthy church from what I know, and he's a great pastor. But it's a small church in a relatively small town, and he's very good at being the pastor of that church. He is not, he's not sort of jumping on the speaking circuit. And Jared Wilson was the pastor of an even smaller church in Vermont. I think it was Vermont.
Yes.
Which is about as far off the beaten path as you can get outside of like the Arctic Circle. So, again, you're talking about just small circles of local influence in areas that are not, you know, it's not the major metropolitan centers. You know, like Tim Keller is in Manhattan. It's like the cultural center of the United States. Granted, people in Los Angeles might argue with that. You know, there's people in Atlanta. There's people in all these metro areas. But those are also a lot bigger churches. Al Mohler is the president of a seminary. I mean, these guys are the A-listers, if you will, the ones who sort of get all the plenary gigs. They head up really big organizations, and those other guys don't. And I don't think there's a qualitative difference necessarily in terms of their brains. There might be in their speaking, but I mean, even that, I think that's subject to, I think people assume that if you're in a bigger organization, you're a better speaker.
Yeah, but how
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so my question is, how do we explain some of the guys that are in the A-list that don't necessarily have, you know, like KDY, Kevin DeYoung does not have a ginormous church. You know what I mean? Thabiti is planning a church right now in D.C. with like 40 people. I mean, there are factors in place where these guys don't all head up like massive organizations, but yet they've found sort of a foot or a seat at that particular table. And I know there's more factors into it than just organizationally, like you said in the beginning. So I'm wondering what maybe some of the other nuances might be with that.
Well, I feel like for somebody like DeYoung, it was before he was quote unquote anybody, he and our wonderful co-host co-authored two books that sort of launched him into the reformed awareness. You know, when you've got Why We're Not Emergent and then Why We Love the Church, both of which sold really, really well, he now has continued in the same position, pastoring the same church with a steady hand for quite a few years. And I think, what is that, 1,000 people at that church?
Dude, I don't know that it's even 1,000.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I think it might be close to 1,000 now.
Again, good-sized church, but not like super mega changing, you know, like
It's not the Village in Dallas.
The town is not orbiting around the church.
They're not renting an arena.
Yeah.
You know, on Sunday.
So there was that. But you also don't see DeYoung speaking too many places. Like he's not a prolific speaker. I think he pretty much focuses on being a pastor and writing occasionally. I think Thabiti is a thought leader, and he was part of Nine Marks, so he was attached to Mark Dever and Nine Marks, which was attached to Together for the Gospel, and so he kind of got plugged in there. But he's a unique voice on a lot of cultural issues, specifically race these days being something that people are very much focused on. But he also, he got in on sort of the ground floor, if you will, of the Gospel Coalition blog. And so he went from being...
So did KDY, honest, man. I mean, those guys were early adopters on that whole thing.
And so now, you know, now the Gospel Coalition is this massive just traffic hub. And those guys, anytime they write something, it gets tens or hundreds of thousands of page views almost passively. And so they've gained a reputation, and they're now linked to these organizations. And so they're now regulars. And if my guess is if Joe Thorne's blog sat on the Gospel Coalition, he would have a similar kind of impact to somebody like Thabiti.
I mean, do you think that begs the question is that just an instant? Well, it's not instant because you got guys like Wilson and stuff on there as well.
It's a timing thing. Like Wilson came on after, like, after the A-listers, if you will. He and somebody like Trevin Wax, who I work with at Lifeway, are kind of similar guys in that they're respected. Their online writing is very respected. They speak different places, but like you said, it's usually breakout sessions, not main stage stuff. And yeah, but I mean, I think we just put people in a hierarchy in our minds. There's the Godfather level people. There's the next generation of Godfather level people, and then there's people we generally respect, but they're not at that tier. But if you tried to qualitatively point out the difference, in a lot of instances, there isn't much of one.
Right,
Ronnie. Let me ask you a conceptual question here, man. Let's say things break right for you. Let's say as a part of just the untold fame and you know, just excess that you're garnering from this program, Gospel Coalition comes to you, as they should, hat in hand, and they say, Ronnie, we want you to blog on Gospel Co. We want you to do a plenary sesh at the next GCO Con. What are you wearing, baby? What are you wearing up on stage, man? I know you're going to agonize over that.
To even start thinking about that, because obviously I'd spend more time on that than I would the actual message. So
I know, and that's as it should be, but you have to.
How my dad is too, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's you guys got to understand. I have a crew that does research for me, that picks out 7 or 8 different outfits, comes to the house, lays it all out, helps me fit.
You have an associate pastor for that, and your polity allows for that. You know,
absolutely. My denomination is okay with that. Yeah, my church has approved it. My elders are on board. And I think that's what probably we'd spend 90% of our time on, sort of gearing up for something like that. And then at some point, you know, I'd pull a Frankie Chan the morning of, grab a couple of notes, jot down a few words, and wing it.
And cocktail now.
It's not winging it. It's as the Spirit leads.
Absolutely. Yes. And by winging it, that's exactly what I mean.
I think the real pressing question is after that perfect ensemble is selected and you wear it as the Spirit leads, do you then press it, frame it, and donate it to the church or organization where you speak as sort of a, my gift to you here, sort of like my anointed clothing?
Do you sell it on eBay as a conference-worn clothing item?
I don't even think you can ask that question. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Because I can say through a friend of a friend of a friend, which means it's absolutely 100% certain, that there is a pastor whose name rhymes with Stephen Furtick who does that very thing when he speaks places.
Wait, what's he get five? He frames the clothing?
He will actually donate...
Oh, I
donate is the wrong word. Gift.
Gift.
He will bless the church where he speaks with the clothing that he wore. And again, friend of a friend of a friend. So that is I think that means 3 sources have confirmed it, if my math is correct.
That obviously means it's true. So that, I mean, guys, that has to lead me to a quick sidebar. I'm out with a friend on Friday night, and he looks at me. I haven't connected with him in about 7 or 8 months. He looks at me and he goes, Ron, I've been meaning to ask you, what do you think of a guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, but his name's Stephen Furtick. Yeah, that was the silence. And then we just moved on and we did appetizers and we did the whole thing, so.
Dude, so Pipe, you're telling me that there are churches out there with framed, like shiny Furtick shirts, you know what I mean? Like the kind of Night at the Roxbury shirts that I envision him wearing.
Or suits. Like, I think sometimes he goes more like Reservoir Dogs. But yeah, and the friend of a friend who relayed this, they know this because their father runs the framing shop where this happens.
Small world.
So maybe it has only happened once, but it's a much better story if it happens every time. So let's go with that.
That's outstanding. That's outstanding, fellas. Is anything to add to our celebrity hierarchy? I feel like we kind of we wandered to and fro, as it were.
I think we would be falling down on the job if we didn't put out a call to action, and that is we want to see Jared C. Wilson on the main stage at the next Gospel Coalition conference, and Joe Thorne at the next Together for the Gospel. Because I mean, really, why should they be B-listers?
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? All the influence, all the sway that we have in those circles.
Phone calls are being made right now.
Phone calls are, yeah, exactly, man. Careers are being made
right
now.
Shockwaves is the term for what's happening.
Yeah, media shockwaves.
Yeah, Jared doesn't even know what to do with the 9 offers that just came in the last 20 minutes, you know.
Well, I know what he's doing with his Twitter account, and that's tweeting about football. Now, Big R, you being not a football fan, but apparently being a fan of keeping tabs on people's Twitter activity on Sundays, man, talk about where this topic comes from. You were astonished by the volume of tweeting from J. Will and our own pipe here.
Well, dude, at Jared Wilson. I mean, I like Jared. I know him, and but dude, he tends to have a rep. As you know, when it's game day, he just literally tweets like every last second of every play of the game, you know, from front to back.
Only Patriots games. Just, I mean, he would really want that fact checked and put clearly. He is a New England Patriots fan, and that's who he tweets about.
So. Yeah, and somehow there's like a Patriots game on every night, right? So, so then when I saw, so then Pipe, I've been kind of noticing your tweets. And then I saw you having a little back and forth with at JW, and then I thought, well, gosh, man, Pipe is almost as guilty as the incessant sports texting tweeting. And I just thought, I don't know, there's something to this, and I'd like to kind of call him to the table on that and just say, you know, man, I love you, but, like, is this requiring an intervention? Or, like, what – like, explain yourself.
I think you have some explaining to do with your use of the word guilty. That implies that there was some wrong done.
Oh.
I'm curious.
We're just talking worldview now, but carry on.
Are you so you're bigoted against sports tweeting is what you're saying. You have decided that it is wrong and you're discriminating against it, correct?
Okay.
Guys, you know what I love? You know what I love right now? Tension on this program that I'm not a part of at all.
That's all right. I'll start editing your blog post, and then we can argue.
That would be great.
Piper, it's actually a compliment to you saying I so appreciate, you know, the general content of your tweets. That when you delve into this incessant like sports tweeting, I just go, man, I need to turn off my Piper tweets
mute for 3 hours. Well, yeah, okay. Maybe. Here's my explanation. Last Sunday, from the time we were recording this, I was in a very I started the day in sort of a tense but positive place because my Minnesota Vikings were taking on the hated Green Bay Packers for the division lead. None of which means anything to you, Ronnie, but that's okay. And then very quickly in the game, it just spiraled downhill, and I tweeted from a very dark place. For about 2.5 hours until I turned the television off. And it was incessant. Yeah, that's probably an accurate term. But I will say I only do that when it's what I consider a big game. And I do not consider every Vikings game a big game, unlike the good Reverend Jared C. Wilson, who thinks every Patriots game is the equivalent to a Super Bowl. So, yes, last Sunday I would say I think I did go a bit overboard. I probably owe an apology to people because it was also a very negative tone. I was in a very dark place.
Piper, you said twice you were in a dark place. I think that's significant. Maybe we need to have a little off-air convo.
We're talking two layers of darkness here. It required multiple hugs from my children and
this
then
present darkness.
And then I went and watched The Man in the High Castle because dystopian Nazi fiction is way happier than where I was.
Piper, here's what's significant, though. I mean, you awoke the sports tweeting beast on Sunday when you had a little back and forth with at Jared Wilson. I don't think that's insignificant, man. I think something.
I'm looking at Jared Wilson right now, and Pipe, it occurs to me that Jared Wilson is sort of the Teddy Bridgewater of reformed personalities, is he not? I mean, he's
That's good.
You know, he was a little bit sort of young and exciting a couple of years ago, and now he's just kind of middle of the pack, man, like T-Bridge. Are you with me on that?
But he shows flashes and has the potential to be something much, much more.
Dude, every once in a while, there's a little flash.
Also lacks the supporting cast. And by supporting cast, I'm talking about the Vikings offensive line. But if we keep talking about this, I'm going to say things that I will regret. So I should probably back off.
Dude, I'm also looking at this Twitter feed and not seeing a ton of football on here, man. I see the obligatory, like, I don't know, I posted a cute picture of my kid thing and the obligatory, like, here's my book cover. like on the hipster desk sort of thing. Are you seeing this?
Are you on Wilson's?
Yeah, he's got like the
Wilson. It's kickoff.
Okay.
To closing whistle of the football games, and he doesn't too much in between unless there's breaking news about Tom Brady and Uggs or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm seeing it now. But it looks like did he do like a kid book here? I feel like that's the new reformed guy thing.
No, that's not like a kid book. Kid book. I'm pretty sure that's a book for grown-ups with a kid's cover on it.
Yeah, it just looks like a kid's book. It's not a kid's book, Big T.
I wonder if it has coloring pages, because adult coloring books are all the rage now. Like, if you go into a Barnes & Noble, their front and center is this whole array of adult coloring books. And I don't mean adult like the old adult bookstores. I mean adult like just coloring books for people who are not in elementary school.
Guys, do you think that there's a chance that Crossway would sign us to do a three co-author adult coloring book?
Dude, that would be outstanding.
Ted writes the captions and we draw the pictures. Is that how this works?
I love it.
I just might want to color it.
That'd be
huge. It's a pre-colored coloring book.
It comes pre-colored. Just, you can do it in your minimalist fashion.
It is for the laziest creative adult.
Dude, there are no creative reform people. So coming pre-colored, like telling you how to interpret the color.
Having it come pre-colored perfectly fits
into
the mold.
It's not even color by numbers. We wrote the numbers and then
we colored it. How now should we think about this coloring by Crossway?
Yeah.
I love it. We should do that, man. I'm sure they're listening, you know?
Yeah.
Sure they're listening.
I've just gotten two deals. I just got two offers in my email.
Yeah, your agent's he's texting as we speak.
Yes.
Guys, this was going to be sort of an abbreviated ep, was it not? I feel like we didn't talk sponsors this time because we are between sponsors. Resonate Recordings is still in. They still do the audio stuff. They are still great, but I feel like our sponsor for this ep was going to be all of our own books. Am I right?
We are our sponsor.
Hmm.
We're taking responsibility for sponsoring ourselves.
Dude, and you know what? That's the message really for everybody. I mean, really be your, you know, no one's going to be a better sponsor than you are for yourself.
We know ourselves best. I mean, we can pitch the products in a way that that meet our audience's needs better than anyone else.
So guys, do it, man. I'm going to give you the space. This is your sponsorship time. Pitch your products.
Ronnie, I think you deserve the leadoff spot here.
I literally don't have the ability to do that. I mean, again, I think nobody has ever known me better than Michael Landon. So if he was alive today, I feel like I could have him pitch my book. But
he would just sort of toss your book down that grassy hill that Half Pint tumbles down in the beginning.
It would just come tumbling down the book.
So imagine stop your complaining, just kind of tumbling down that hill.
Right.
And that's all you need.
Now, that's not a metaphor for what people will do with the book when they read it, is it?
You know what? I leave that up to the audience. They can do whatever they want with it. They can put it on a shelf. They can throw it in the trash. It's totally up to them.
Tumble down a hill with it, you know, whatever.
I mean, just purchase it. That's the starting place. And since this episode will release shortly after Black Friday and right in the midst of Christmas gift buying season, I think everybody should just purchase everything that we've published. And that's really the sales pitch here, is go on Amazon and search Ronnie Martin and then Barnabas Piper and then Ted Kluck and buy everything. I think that's,
I don't have a problem with
that. I think that's the call to action. You can buy multiples. You can give a copy to everybody you know. I don't think that's too much to ask.
You know what, though? Let me go one step further than that, Pipe, and let me just throw out a pitch for my two brothers here and just say Household Gods by Ted Kluck and Help My Unbelief by Barnabas B. Pipe Piper are two outstanding Thanksgiving weekend reads that I would recommend to all. And there to all a good night.
So run, don't walk, down to the mercantile. Ask Nels to produce copies of the aforementioned books and happy reading.
They'll come in those limited edition wooden covers just for the weekend.
That's right. And get on the email, get on Twitter, blow up Crossway and let them know that you want the pre-colored adult coloring book by the three of us, by the Happy Rant.
And Merry Christmas and to all a good night.
Folks, we have wandered to and fro. Until next time, enjoy your Thanksgiving and Rachel the Held Evans.
Have you ever felt conflict between your faith and feelings? If so, you're not alone. My name's Carly Mercouillier. I'm a licensed therapist and the host of the Therapy and Theology podcast, where we explore popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. I want to invite you to join me every Thursday as we fearlessly name the complexities of our reality, grow in the awareness of who we are, and rediscover the power and purpose of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. Subscribe today at lifeaudio.com.